Hey, everybody, it is the final night of WrestleMania week. We had 9 nights of this bullshit. And
we did it, and we ended it with a bang, I felt.
Yes, this was what a post-WrestleMania Raw should be, but instead it was a post-WrestleMania NXT.
It's kind of nice actually having this show on Tuesday, because we used to have, like, Raw back-to-back terrible shows, like Raw and Impact. And I would just be starting off the week in such a shitty mood, you know?
Yeah.
And it would make me like, I was like, oh, I can't wait for Wednesday because Monday and Tuesday are so dragging. But today was just like, this is easy. It was just great. It already feels like Wednesday because, you know, and also Impact has now moved to Thursday, but it's balanced by NXT UK, which is a great show. Yeah. So there's this balance that I like. This was a great show, man.
This was really great. Let's get right into it.
Yeah. It starts off with Karrion Kross coming out. He's the new champion, and he's cutting a promo. It is your standard promo of like when you're on top, people are coming after you. That's a lie. I'm gonna come after everybody else. Nobody, I'm the best, and all this standard stuff. But it was so fucking not like my cup of tea because of Scarlett. Scarlett is just like, oh, yeah, next to
him. I watched it with a friend and they're like, what is those faces she's making?
She is going like I don't, she looks like she's having an orgasm
or a seizure.
This guy.
Yeah.
It looks really weird. And she's like every once in a while, like making these like serial killer eyes and stuff. And it just looks very fucking weird. Someone needs to tell her to cut that shit out. That shit is not flying. At least to me, it's not flying.
No, it's not flying to me. And I like her. It's not flying to me either. She looks like an idiot.
She looks like an idiot. And by proxy, he looks like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They gotta cut that shit out.
This was the worst part of the show.
No.
No?
No.
You think there was something worse than this?
Yes. Right. Absolutely. But this is close. This is a very, very close moment of. And by the way, if one of the worst parts of the show, it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad.
Yeah, we're gonna go right into our first match. It is MSK, the NXT Tag Team Champions, against Dane and Drake. Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Dane and Drake. They won the number one contendership from the what was it? It was a pre-show match, right?
Yeah, they beat the Breezango.
Yeah, I believe it was a pre-show match on
night.
Yeah, it
was TakeOver Night 2, yeah.
Yeah, and winner becomes a number one contenders, which they won. And this was a pretty standard match, not a bad opening match. I've seen better, but I've seen
at first I wasn't into it. Then it got better and better as it kept going. And I was like, that was into it.
MSK hits their assisted blockbuster on Drake Maverick for the win. After the win, Killian Dane is tending to Drake Maverick when all of a sudden Alexander Wolf is out. And then Imperium comes out and beats the crap out of him. So those of you guys who don't know why this is happening, Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane used to be in a stable together called Sanity with Eric Young. Wolf went on to greater things in Imperium, and Eric Young became a fucking joke. And Wolf comes...
The Wolf world! Come the holy waters of change!
The holy waters of change. Good one. I was kidding. Yeah, he does. That's what he says, guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wolf comes out, and Wolf, before this, like a month or so ago, he confronted Killian Dane, and he was like, "What is going on here? You used to be like a killer in this. You used to be the killer of our stable, and now you're hanging out with this little guy who's a joke." And he doesn't like that because Alexander Wolf and Imperium, the ring is supposed to be sacred. There's no fucking ha-ha allowed. Mm-hmm. And he now looks down on Killian Dane, and that's why Imperium are beating the shit out of them. One thing that NXT does super well, better than Raw, SmackDown, AEW, is they keep continuity. And I fucking love that. It's great. I love where this is going. It's fantastic.
Did you notice that he didn't hit Killian Dane?
Yes, he did. Alexander Wolf did not lay a hand on anybody. He just let his goons go after
him. And then he just walked ahead of them. He didn't really. Part of me thinks Killian Dane's going to join Imperium. Part of me thinks they're going to reform Sanity with Nikki Cross and Alexander Wolfe.
A good angle is one that keeps you guessing and gets you excited for all these possibilities. And this is exactly right. Because there's so many ways they could go through this. And each
week, or they could just join Violent by Design. And yeah. he could do both companies. The world belongs to us. Doesn't belong to you, Imperium.
There is a possibility that they could fuck this up, but I highly doubt it. I think the most logical thing they're going to do is they're going to have a tag team feud, obviously. And I feel strongly like, yeah, Killian Dane might turn on Drake. I feel like it will happen.
I also could see that they turn on Drake, but then Alexander Wolfe turns on Imperium and they put someone else on Imperium.
That could happen too. This is going to be interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Because he didn't put his hands on Killian.
Oh, you think Alexander Wolfe will even, he'll reteam with Killian Dane and leave Imperium.
Yes.
That is interesting. I didn't think
about that. And they reform Sanity with Nikki Cross. Because she's doing nothing anyway.
So she's doing nothing. Yeah. They need to, that would be great if they reform.
What if, this is going to sound completely insane. What if Alexa Bliss is in charge of Sanity?
No.
And Lily is Nikki Cross and Sanity are her fucking.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Someone is going to do that. They're going to go to Nikki and be like, Nikki, we got a great idea for you. and then she goes, yes, anything. Okay, I'm glad you said that.
You remember how you were crazy? What if you're
listening? Yeah, remember how you're crazy? And then like last week, Alexa Bliss had this doll. And she's like, No.
No, we're gonna bring in Alexander Wolfe and Killian Dane too.
We're gonna get you a costume that's gonna look like the doll. <It's> like, you have to sit in the corner of the ring akimbo, and then like the lights are gonna turn off. The lights are gonna turn on, and you gotta like do and that. You're like, I can't do it. And then the lights, after you beat the crap out of somebody, the lights are gonna turn back off. And when they come back on, it's only the doll in the ring because you went back to doll size. And she'll be like, "I love it." She'll be like, "Whatever." What else you gonna say? She's gonna say, "I love it." You know?
No, but she'll be like, "No, I like being on main event wrestling."
Yeah. But yeah, not a bad opening match. Decent stuff. Good storyline. I love the progression of the story. And now here comes another one with continuity-based storyline. You got Robert Stone and Aaliyah. They're like, we're going to go to, Robert Stone and Aaliyah. They're all dressed up. It's like a whole cool, they're cool stable. They're like a management company. And they're like, we're going to go to Will and Regal. We're going to ask for this. And then Mercedes Martinez confronts him and she goes, where's my money? You see, months ago, she was like a hired assassin for this guy. And she's now claiming that she hasn't gotten paid by him. This is great. Because if it was like any other fucking company, probably would have just dropped this fucking thing. She's like, yeah, where's my money? And she gets Aaliyah and she's like choking her. I was like, give me my money. Stone is like trying to play dumb. All of a sudden, his newest acquisition, Jesse Kamea, she's a tall girl. She confronts her and goes, yeah, like I'll face you in the ring. And she goes, all right. So that's going to lead to a match later tonight. I like this segment too.
Yeah, that was good. Jesse looked badass.
This is the first time I actually saw Aaliyah as like, she was kind of entertaining in her role. The facial she was making and really selling, getting choked out. Robert Stone, the guy who, the actual guy, they are wasting him. He is super talented.
He looks like Tony Khan. I think they want to keep going with this.
No, what I'm saying is if you want to use him in this character, mm-hmm. he should even have a bigger role. He is good. This guy
he's another character kind of like Dexter Lumis or LA Knight that's perfect for Raw or SmackDown. Like,
yes. Yeah.
He'd be more suited for those, but I feel like they would use him for like a week or two and then he'd just be on main event, like managing like fucking, I don't know.
This guy, I could picture this guy like one day if he was like a bigger character, like being in charge of one of the fucking brands, like a general manager.
Yeah, but I think the thing that they like and the thing that holds him down is that he looks a lot like a good looking Tony Khan.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, that's even better. That's I even know. Better.
Than I think they like to shit on him.
Yeah, they could totally shit on him. And this guy, that thing he did with Shotzi Blackheart, he's willing to make a fool out of himself, and he does a great job of it. They're wasting him, what I'm saying, because
yeah.
He's hardly on TV. This is the first time I've seen him in like
I thought he got fired.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in like a month. They're wasting this guy. Hmm. All right, so then they do a recap of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly from the unsanctioned match on NXT. The one thing they show is that after the match, Adam Cole had to be stretchered out and taken to a hospital. So they show you that everyone looks concerned. Adam Cole is seriously injured from the unsanctioned match. I have no idea where that's going to lead, but
it was funny when they're rolling them both into the hospital. Like Adam Cole's just cursing him out. I thought that was kind of funny. Like fuck yeah. Yeah. It's like, dude. Riley's just laying there, like, uh huh.
Match number two. Jesse Kamea versus Mercedes Martinez. Jesse Kamea needs to get better gear. Her gear.
Oh, yeah, that gear was like, what is that?
That thing was hot garbage, bro. It looks like it's half cow. It's like black and white spots on one side. And then the other half, it looks super small on her. And it doesn't fit because she's in the Robert Stone brand and he's dressed to the nines. Aaliyah's got good looking gear. These supposed to be like, they're very like, up-to-date, modern, like, it's a management company, right?
Mm-hmm.
She does not fit with her shitty fucking amateur indie gear. She needs to get better gear. It looks terrible. Mm-hmm. She looks like a fucking joke out there, and it's good because she got her ass kicked by Mercedes Martinez. Who
yeah, they had this whole thing where I was like, I'm going to beat you up, and then she got her ass beat. Not only did she get her ass beat, but the other two people got, like, chased down.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I like Jesse's promo backstage. I'm like, you should be doing more with this girl, but there's still time.
No, she kind of needs to be in this role, I think. I've seen her wrestle. Not much there.
You know, I just realized, what happened to the Asian stable led by the undead woman? Did they just decide to, like, go away?
I think they're trying to figure out what to do with it because I don't think it's catching on.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, I liked it too, but I know some people who didn't like it. And to be fair, it really wasn't catching.
Well, it was completely insane that like this woman's been alive for thousands of years and she just has a wrestling stable. And it's like, wouldn't you like take over the planet if you were like this?
Yeah. So anyway, Mercedes Martinez hits her version of the air raid crash on Jessica Kamea for the win. Afterwards, she grabbed Robert Stone and goes, give me my money. And he does pull out some money, gives it to her. And now that feud is over. But then she goes to this part, my favorite part of this match. She goes to the announce table. She fucking slams down the announce table and starts screaming at Vic Joseph. Raquel Gonzalez, congratulations, champ. But now I'm coming for you. I want you, champ. And then she walks away. And then Vic Joseph, like really annoyingly, looks at Wade Barrett and he goes, aren't you going to say something now? And Wade's just like, like he's scared. Wade plays it off so well. Like he's like, dude, like I don't want to be fucking involved in this. Playing the chicken shit heel commentator and Vic Joseph doing the great role of just like being super annoyed that this guy who talks shit the whole time would not stand up for him in the one moment that he needed him to. Perfect. This is a good commentary team. I don't care what anyone said. This is great. It's great.
Who says they're bad? By the way, Dave Meltzer, I heard a clip from him today. Saying that Corey Graves is horrible. He's like the worst part of the show. And I'm like, if you think Corey Graves is the worst part of a show.
You know when he started thinking that?
Mm. When Corey Graves,
when Corey Graves one time tweeted about Mauro Ranallo. Do you remember that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And ever since then, Dave Meltzer, who is unprofessional, by the way, because he takes his own personal feelings and uses that lets that influence his judgment on people's actual performances. Because if he was a real professional journalist, even though he hates somebody, he will admit when somebody's good or not. But instead, if he doesn't like someone, he just makes that, he just influenced that.
See, that's the thing with these guys, because the clip they were playing was like, they were ripping on the new announcer, which I agree with, but then they start going how bad Corey Graves is. And oh, he's horrible. He's just, and it's like, who wants to listen to him? And it's like, dude, now, like, I can't take anything you say seriously. Like,
no.
Like, Raw last night had a ton of problems.
Yes.
Corey Graves was not one of them.
No. And it's like, he held it down.
Yeah, if you call everything a problem, if you never give any credit to anything on a show, then it's just a fucking clown act to me.
Yeah.
That's why I can't take him seriously. It's like, dude, not everything is the worst fucking thing to ever happen. You know, it's a bad show. It was a lot of fucking horrible, unwatchable shit last night. But come on, dude.
Yeah. And Adnan Verk was not good, but I felt like Corey Graves was doing his best to like just – he was doing a lot that last night. And he was holding it down. And, dude, think of it this way. He's not even the commentator on Raw. He just – why is he brought on all of a sudden?
Right? Because they trust him.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like this guy, he talks like he's backstage. He don't know shit. This guy's a fucking loser. He's a fucking loser, this guy. According to him, Mauro Ranallo is the fucking best. Yeah, fucking. He was garbage. That guy was hot garbage.
Someone said the ratings started slipping when Mauro Ranallo started going crazy. And I agree with that. I think it was very hard to watch. When we started doing these reviews, NXT was very hard to watch. Remember, like, I would just be so annoyed on Wednesdays?
Yes.
I would be like, there's something really annoying. Because AEW is just fucking annoying anyway. But then NXT was like, it didn't even matter. They were a good match. I was just like in a mood at the end. Because fucking Mauro is just, what?
Your cat's. Are you okay? Your cat looks like he's going, are you okay?
your cat's like, what do you want me to do something with Mauro Ranallo?
Yeah.
No, just because like Mauro Ranallo would just scream for 2 hours and it would just be off put. Everything would, scream, Mamma Mia! Like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. This commentary team, I actually like these.
Way better. Way better.
Yeah, way better.
Not even close.
I would say that I think these three together are probably the fourth best commentary team that I could think of right now. The first, my favorite is Taz and Excalibur. That's number one. Number two is Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness on 205. And NXT UK. No, wait, that's not the NXT UK. Well, anyway, 205. And then number three is, you probably don't know this, but Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman, they're fucking good together. And then this commentary.
What show are they on, those two?
Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay, because you just said it.
Do you know comedian Yvonne Campbell?
No.
Black comic?
No.
His brother-in-law is fucking Caprice Coleman.
Oh, great. Well,
Caprice Coleman.
We got to get him back in the Carolines. What was I going to say to you about? I would like AEW if they got rid of Jim Ross, which I never thought I'd say. Oh,
no. Yeah. Dynamite commentary team is not that good. I don't care if people say it's not that good. No. So there are a lot of times they're just fucking all over the place. Jim Ross.
Well, but they just don't have, like, they just like I don't know, they didn't seem to be that upset that Impact. Whenever like Impact and New Japan shows up, they're just like not even like that excited about
it. And here's the thing, it's not even just Jim Ross.
Yeah.
If you take Jim Ross out of the equation, it's still not a good team. And it's just Tony Schiavone and Excalibur. It's still not good. And I'll tell you why. Excalibur doesn't explain shit.
That's true.
You know, and so it's still not a good commentary.
He just talks like he's just like, here's Joey Blow. He won the PWG title 97 times. It's like, what the fuck does any of that mean?
He calls. I love the way he calls things. He calls things great, but he, like, when somebody shows up or if somebody does something, he doesn't explain the significance of it, or he doesn't explain who that person is, why he's important. And unless sometimes he has to get nudged by JR, you know? And it's just like, how do you not know this by now? You're like a year in. Right? Like, how do you still not fucking know this? You're a year in, bro. Like, oh god. Anyways, it's so weird because my favorite commentary team is Excalibur and Taz. Isn't that weird? It's very weird. But when he's with JR and Tony Schiavone, he fucking sucks. Yeah. Do you think it's something that he thinks like, oh, I'm with like legends in the commentary team?
Excalibur?
Yeah, do you think he gets intimidated?
I think Jim Ross kind of like probably tells him to back, like, play with me, don't fucking go over me or what, you know what I mean? I think he's part of him being nervous, but also I think Jim Ross kind of like puts him in line.
Yeah, because when he's with Taz, it's more of like, it sounds like two buddies just fucking commentating over wrestling. And they take turns shitting on each other. And they also argue sometimes about a specific move. He goes like, oh, I don't think he should have done that. And he goes, no, that was the right thing to do. And then they start like talking wrestling semantics and shit. Like, because they're both wrestlers, right? They're both former wrestlers. So it's way more fun on Dark.
You know what the problem is, I think, with Dynamite's commentary is that you supposedly have this state-of-the-art wrestling show. Like, state-of-the-art, like, this is, like, what all the kids like, you know, supposedly what they But then you have, like, these two old guys. And I think half the time Jim Ross doesn't even like what he's seeing. And, you know, these two old guys who none of this is their style, especially Jim Ross. So, like, he doesn't understand how to get the story across. So it's, like, two old WWF, WCW guys. And then, like, a guy who kind of gets it. And I think it's just the styles clash.
I think you're right, yeah. And you're Shivani probably right. Probably does tell him that.
Shivani's, like, very subdued now. I think, like, he's more aware that he was, like, a joke at the end of WCW. So now he's more, like, subdued. But, like, still, like, these are two very old guys. And I kind of feel like you need, like, three young guys. Or two young guys. Excalibur and a young play-by-play guy.
Who would you put as an... If you were like, all right... Tony O'Khan's like, listen, we got to fucking change this up. I'm going to get rid of Tony Schiavone and JR because you're telling me to. But if you're telling me to get rid of them, you need to find me their replacement.
Like right now?
Yeah, if he's like, if you're telling me to fire him right now and get a replacement.
I would probably. There's fucking nobody out there. If I could just pull somebody from WWE. I would obviously pull, like, fucking Vic Joseph and Corey Graves to be with Excalibur.
Yeah.
But I can't do that. I guess Joe
Galley. No, I'm trying to think. Who is
Joe Galley? I don't know Joe anyone Galley else. With Joe Galley and Excalibur, yeah. Dude, I don't know. I think there's somebody out there. We just don't know him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, too. If I was put on
the spot. Dude, there's hardly anyone out there. It's not like there's, like 15 play-by-play guys hanging around. You'd have to do auditions.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you're right. You know who I think would actually be pretty decent?
I don't say Kevin Kelly.
No, Big Show.
Oh, I thought you said Dave Chappelle.
Oh, you know Ian Rick? Actually, that'd be too straight. No, it wouldn't work because it's two straight guys. Actually, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. You know who'd be good? You'll be good if he came back into wrestling, but he's not. Is Joey Styles on Excalibur would be good. But.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But he doesn't want anything to do with wrestling. And he got in trouble for pro-Trump. He went on a pro-Trump rant on a Evolve show. So he's kind of like blackballed from the industry or something.
Oh, I mean, well, he'll fit right in with AEW.
Yeah, really, that's the word. He went on a pro-Trump rant. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, how many? I know so many wrestlers who went on a Jackson Riker, Jericho, Kane, I don't know. Like, dude, he's not the only one. He's here. Welcome back, Joey Styles.
Yeah.
If you watch, so MLW, every once in a while, they do an old episode from like they did in the 2000s, early 2000s. Yeah. And Joey Styles is calling it, right? He's really good. People forget how good he is as a commentator. He calls that shit by himself. It's very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the worst part of the show of NXT. The way is getting interviewed. This was the worst fucking part of the show.
Okay, well, it was so short.
It was short, but okay, this is what I think about the way. If Johnny Gargano got let go and he went to Impact, this is the gimmick that would be. This is what this gimmick feels like.
The only person that's doing good with the way is India Ari or whatever fuck her name is.
India Ari, exactly. Everyone else is just Austin
Theory's a joke improving. Now. Everyone else is getting worse.
Yeah, every Austin Theory's a joke. Johnny Gargano is trying to play this serious joke character, but he's just coming off very cheesy and unauthentic. And Candice LeRae just does not look like it's Indy Hartwell is starting to really grow in this role. Yes.
Indy Hartwell is like getting better every week, and it's being really apparent that these three stink.
She still needs some work in the ring, though. And
yeah, it, but like everything she was showed. Doing, but we'll get to the main event.
Swerve Scott is doing his promo from his studio, and he cuts a promo on Leon Ruff and how like tonight's they're gonna end it. You got to get over him. I like this. I like these studio things that they do with him. It looks makes him look really funny.
Yeah, that was cool. That made him look like a badass.
Santos Escobar gets in the ring, starts cutting a promo, and he goes, it's just an open challenge, and Kushibushi comes out, and it's a match number three. Kushibushi versus Santos Escobar. They wrestle through the start of the second hour, and the finish comes when they're trading covers. They're trading, reversing near falls, and all of a sudden, Kushibushi gets the cover, and they count to three, and he is now the new Cruiserweight champion. This shit fucking had me go like, whoa, what the fuck just happened? You know? I was like, whoa, I was not expecting this.
It was a great match. I'm glad they did this. You know, too many bad guys came out of WrestleMania weekend, basically proving that the good guys are idiots. Mm-hmm. And you needed one good guy to kind of come back and be like, no, you're the fucking idiot, and get the belt. You needed one good guy to like come back. And I'm glad it was Kushibushi. And also, this is good. Someone brought this up. This could move Santos Escobar into the world title, into the NXT title picture or the US title picture. Personally, I would get him off NXT and I'd put him on the main roster, but
no, I wouldn't do that. Because I feel like he's gonna get fucking wasted.
Well, but you can move him into a match with Karrion Kross now, like a serious match.
Oh, I would move into the main event of NXT, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's time.
These guys have a history too, remember?
Yeah. And I was good. You need it, and I'll give another thing, but you need this on SmackDown. You need the good guys that look like idiots this weekend, because they didn't do it on Raw. The good guys kept looking like idiots on Raw. You need the good guys to kind of like not look like an idiot on the follow-up.
Wait, good guys look like idiots on Raw too.
I'm saying they did look like idiots. So I said that.
Oh yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
Asuka and Drew McIntyre and Matt Riddle all like fucking idiots.
Yes.
You need like some good guy to come back and not look like a fucking retard.
Yes.
And I'm glad they did that. And I think this is going to be better for Santos Escobar. So good.
Yeah.
This is the best match.
Yeah, this was good. It was so unexpected. And
Kushida deserves it. I mean, he has it's time to do something with him.
And to come right out of a takeover, like the first show back, it just felt big too. I felt really big in him winning.
Yeah.
They do a Timothy Thatcher and Ciampa in the back cutting a promo, and they basically say, we had a couple of losses, but we're gonna get back right. We didn't forget. He goes, MSK, we're coming after you once again. It's not forgetting about continuity.
Yeah.
This was something I did like weeks ago, and they're now coming back to that. I fucking love it. Fantastic.
Good job. Yeah, I like this promo.
Good stuff. Yeah.
And I think that's a good match.
And they do mention it. He's like, yeah, I had to do this thing with Walter, but that's done now. And we're going to go back to what we were originally going for. Titles. And MXK, we didn't forget about you. We're coming after you. Perfect. Perfectly done. And Ciampa looks pissed off and he fucking goes away. I'm actually liking this pairing between these two guys.
They're good.
They fit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Regal is congratulating Kushida in the back when Jordan Devlin comes out with an OTT shirt, his home promotion. And he's just like, hey, you know, like this was, I thought this was actually funny. He goes like, congratulations. You beat Santos Escobar. Man, but who's that guy ever beaten? Which is really funny.
Yeah.
But then he goes, oh, so what? He climbs a ladder faster than me. Doesn't mean he's a better wrestler than me. Great. And he goes, I'm going to go back to my home country. Just letting you know, I'm going to keep my eye out for you. I thought this was great by Devlin.
That was good. Because setting up a match with them in the future, if they want to do a match with them in the future. So that was good.
Yeah. They need to turn Devlin a heel.
No, Devlin is a heel.
Yeah. No, there was... Coming into this, he wasn't a heel. Coming into NXT TakeOver, he wasn't a heel.
Okay. But because he's a heel on NXT UK, so.
Yeah. And he needs to stay a heel because he has – people are going to boo him, you know, because of what he did. Yeah, so he needs to fucking stay a heel. I totally get it. But this was good. Good job by Devlin. Then Raquel Gonzalez comes out with Dakota Kai, and they're in the ring. And they're doing a thing where – Raquel Gonzalez is a good guy now, and and Dakota Kai's a good guy now. And she's super complimentary to Dakota Kai. And you could see this is already like the beginning stages of the eventual, you know. Yeah,
Dakota Kai had a weird look on her face the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. And she's kind of like holding the candle.
Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez was brought in, at least in the storyline terms, to get Dakota Kai the belt. Not so Dakota Kai could stand there while she had the belt.
Mm-hmm. This is a great story that they're building. It's already fantastic. When all of a sudden, the lights go out. The lights come back on, and it's Frankie Monet, formerly Taya Valkyrie of Impact Wrestling. She's out there with her fucking dog in her arm. She comes out. She gets in the ring, starts speaking Spanish because she's a Boricua or something like that. No, she's spent a lot of time training in Mexico, which is why she's very fluent in the Spanish language. And Rhea Ripley confronts her and says she will, if she gets in her face
again. No, not Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez.
Raquel Gonzalez goes, if you get in my face again, I will take your dog and shove it up your culo, which is your ass. Mm-hmm. And then Monet kind of just like goes, oh, okay, well, I'm going to see you every Tuesday. And then she walks out.
Well, she said, pulser cabron, which is a really good word.
Yeah, isn't that like faggot?
Yeah, basically.
That's maricón. Right?
No, but it's basically like faggot, cocksucker. It's everything like that.
Oh, okay.
Fucker, all those at once. Yeah.
Yeah. So Monet just leaves the ring, and then Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez are just standing in the ring, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is how they're ending it. It's stupid. Yeah. But all of a sudden, Rhea Ripley's music hit, and she comes out with the fucking Raw Women's title, and I'm like, all right, this is good. Are they gonna go at it? She comes into the ring. They're facing off. They're both fucking tall. And then they fucking, like, cheers the fucking belt. And they're, like, hugging each other. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? I was like, what the hell's going on? And then Bianca Belair's music hits. And I'm like, oh, no. Please don't tell me they're fucking doing this. Belair comes out. And all three of these fucking geeks are standing in the ring like, yay, we're champion. Girls do it better.
Well, I mean, look. I'll tell you what I liked about this. I don't think they should have had Taya Valkyrie in the site. They should have gave her a squash match, right? They should have had her. And I'm going to tell you what I hated about that in a second. But, like, I like the idea of the three women, like Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez making up. Remember, they were supposed to be best friends. You remember that?
Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez?
Yeah, the whole storyline in their last one standing match was we were best friends and Raquel Gonzalez turned her back on me. We came up together. So, like, that making up, like, now we're both champs, so let's be friends again. I like that. And then Bianca Belair, like, this is where we started. Here's the part I think was missing. They should have showed Dakota, like, Owen Hart. They should have showed Dakota Kai standing, like, ringside, just staring at all three of them.
Okay, I was thinking that, and they never showed us that, and I think there's a reason why they didn't show us that. I think they did film something like that. And one day when she does eventually turn heel, they're going to show a clip like that of them doing that shit and her just standing there just watching.
Yeah.
Like in a montage.
I think it was a nice, like, hey, look at this awesome weekend. These three women like won this belt. That's a nice, like, post WrestleMania moment on NXT just to have, like, because they're not feuding with each other, those three. So they can be friendly now. But, like, down the road, if there's, like, a roster shakeup, they can always feud later. You know what I'm saying? So, like, who cares if they're just happy?
Yeah, I'm just never a fan of, like, when people are like, hey, we're both good guys, so let's just say I congratulate. I just think that's over super cheesy.
They were used to be friends. So I saw it as them making up finally. Like, all right, whatever. Like,
yeah, I guess.
And then Bianca came out to be like, me too.
Yeah, it's like whenever they do, like, when they would do, like, the special episodes of, like, Raw and SmackDown where both brands are on one show, and then the tag team champions of one brand would meet the other ones.
I think it'll be good continuity if they follow it. So, like, let's say, like, down the road, when they take Raquel Gonzalez and put her on the main roster, Rhea Ripley's getting beaten up by some heels and Raquel Gonzalez comes out to save her. And then, like, they can build them up as friends like they did Bayley and Sasha. They can build them up as friends and have them feud. Because they had a great match at NXT.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. I don't think they should have put Taya Valkyrie in the segment. I think it made her look terrible. It made her look terrible that she was an afterthought in her fucking debut. I think
that was... Yeah, yeah. You're already sitting her like an afterthought.
Here's the other problem with her. The poor dog shouldn't be out there. The dog looked so freaked out.
Yeah. I will say, even though we have problems with this segment, it wasn't the worst segment either. It was
fine. No, it was good. Yeah. No, I liked it a lot. I just would not have had Frankie Monet come. And then I thought it was really good. I just feel like it hurt Frankie Monet, but I liked the three. I know you don't like the three. I like the three women celebrating because, like, it was a big weekend for women's wrestling, so it's cool that they celebrate, you know? Yeah. I mean, two years ago, Becky Lynch had all the fucking belts, and now, like, all these new women have the belts, so.
That's true, yes. Yeah, this is a – dude, man, I would love to see – Becky get into it all three of these women.
Oh yeah, that's three dream matches right there. So
yeah, three dream matches. Yeah, well, maybe not Raquel Gonzalez so much, but
oh no, I think that would be a great match.
I don't know.
I'm not gonna fucking I'm not gonna fucking go crazy for it, but I'll watch it.
Yeah. All right. So Pete Dunne's the back. He's cutting a promo about what he's really coming after. Is he came here for a reason. He came over from the UK for a reason, and that's titles. And he's going back in the hunt. And then we get a great video package of the recent signing of Saray. This was a very well done video package showing clips and pictures of her from Japan. And William Regal is narrating it. And he goes, we have the best women's division in the entire world. And that is a fact, by the way. That is a fucking fact. And she's going to – they hyped her up. She better not fucking flop because this was a good hype video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Everyone endorses this girl. And then William Regal is getting interviewed, and he's like, yeah, I can't wait for Saray. She's going to debut next week. But I got to take care of some business. He goes into his office, and there's Roderick Strong and his wife, I'm guessing, are – And Roderick Strong hands him on the manila envelope, and he's like, I quit, basically. And he's like, Regal's like, you know, I've had some problems with you with the whole Undisputed Era and everything, but just want you to know you're always welcome back if you ever want to come back. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right. Roderick Strong is quitting, so.
Okay, here's my theory.
Yes.
Like I said, I think on SmackDown, Edge is going to, I don't think they're going to let Edge just come out. But, oh, I guess I was a dumbass. And just, you know, that's it. I guess I just stink, huh? I think Roderick Strong, when I saw this, I think Roderick Strong is going to be Edge's Jey Uso. You're like, Edge is going to be, Edge is always like, you can't outsmart me. I outsmart you. Like, that's always been Edge's character. So I think Edge is going to be like, all right. Edge is going to be like, I didn't lose because Roman Reigns is so much fucking better than me and Daniel Bryan. I lost because Jey Uso cheated. So now I have a guy. And it's going to be Roderick Strong. That's my theory. Roderick Strong is going to be Edge's Jey Uso for the feud.
I'm okay with that. I think I would be behind that.
Because when they had him leave like that, I'm like, all right, I know he's not, if he was quitting, let's say like they fired him or he did quit. Now, if they fired him or if he did quit, it'd be ballsy to have a segment like this. But like, I don't think they're going to fire him. But if the only reason you take him off NXT is that if you're like, all right, we're going to put you on the main roster. And I think Edge is, I don't know about Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan might be like, oh, this is stink. I think Edge is going to come back on Friday with something for Roman. Like, no, you don't do that to me, motherfucker. I'm going to fucking get you now.
Yeah, because the reason why Edge lost was because of Jey Uso.
Yeah, the reason why both of them lost is because of. Yeah, so I think Edge is going to have his own Jey Uso, and it's going to be Roderick Strong, which I am – yeah, that was what I have in my head. I think Roderick Strong's going to be his guy.
That's actually a pretty – I will be okay with that.
That's my theory. I could be wrong, and Edge just comes out and is like, well, whatever. But I think he's going to – I think Edge is going to come with it. Edge is going to come guns blazing against Roman Reigns. If they have him – they're fucking idiots, but I do think he's gonna come out guns blazing.
Yeah, I really love this show, man. So much happening on the show, like champions, people, new title. Oh, yeah,
this is what a post WrestleMania,
yes,
episode. People, it's setting up new storylines,
people leaving, people coming in. There's
people becoming new champions
happening.
Not like that, just that garbage we saw last night, way better.
Yeah, this really was like. the Raw after WrestleMania.
Yes, kind of that's what this was. Yeah.
We go to match number 4, and this is supposed to be like the blow off match of Leon Ruff versus Swerve Scott. There are moments in this match that is very sloppy, but somehow it adds to the match, I thought, because Ruff is, he doesn't look like a really good wrestler. So like when it's sloppy, it adds to me the authenticity of him. Like it looks like a Leon Ruff match, you know, where he's like sloppily doing like Hurricane Rana and shit like that. And ultimately, Swerve hits his version of like a Michinoku driver on Leon Ruff for the win. I like this match. I thought this was a good match, even though there was a lot of sloppiness.
Really good match. Really good match. Liked it a lot.
Yeah. Zoe Starks is getting interviewed, and they're like, how did you feel about, like, you know, like you being in a takeover? It's like, oh, it was great, man. I was struggling in Las Vegas. Now look at me. I'm at the biggest thing. And all of a sudden, Mercedes Martinez interrupts. She goes, what are you doing interviewing her, a rookie, when you should be interviewing me? I'm probably the next in line for the championship. And then Zoe goes, you call me a rookie? Let's see about that. So these guys, I think these two are having a match next week, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
That's going to be a good match too. Jeez. I like Mercedes Martinez. She comes off like such a no.
Yeah, she's good. A couple of months ago, I would have had Mercedes beat Io Shirai, not what's her name, but it's fine. Well, how they did it was fine, but yeah.
She has this like Samoa Joe aura about her, like just like I don't give a fuck. I'm the biggest badass here. Yeah. You know, I love it. We get a great Imperium video package with Walter in it. Very well done. And then we get Swerve. He's getting interviewed about his win. He's like, yeah, you see what I did in the ring over there? And then all of a sudden, Leon Ruff attacks him, beats him up, and he goes, it's not over. It's not over. And I'm like, oh, they're going to probably have like a hardcore match to blow this off.
That was good because I feel like on Raw, they just would have had Leon Ruff lose, look like an idiot, and that's it. But instead, like Leon Ruff, like they're not allowing this guy to look like an idiot, which is
crazy. Yes. I liked it too. It's like he lost, but he's not going down fighting. You know, I mean, you're not going down without a fight, basically. You know, he's going to keep going at it. And I think, what do you think is going to happen? A hardcore match? Like something like that, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Some hardcore, some type of stipulation. Yeah. And if not next week or anything, but I think it's.
No. I think they're going to build. Like they're gonna like interfere in each other's match or something like that, and then like maybe the next takeover they're gonna have like this. We're gonna have an unsanctioned match. I don't know, a Nigerian studio match. I don't know,
a hip hop drums match.
Yeah, hip hop drums match. Firefly hip hop drums Nigerian match. Imagine they have a match and they're like cheerily legal.
They're gonna have a blindfold match.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, I like that. Let me go to match number 5. This is their final match of the night. It's a intergender match. Dexter Lumis, Bronson Reed, Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon versus all 4 members of the Way. Story in this is Indy Hartwell is super in love with Dexter Lumis. There's this point where everyone's doing their thing, and then Dexter Lumis has the silence on Johnny Gargano, and Indy Hartwell lays, instead of like kicking him in the head to break it up, she just lays down next to him like she's knocked out. Dexter Lumis looks like he's going to kiss her, and then Austin Theory kicks him out of the beats him up, which pisses off Indy Hartwell because she almost got kissed, so she throws Austin Theory out, and then she lays on the apron like she's passed out again. And then Dexter Lumis picks her up, and he kidnaps her away like he did to Austin Theory in a way. And then as he's basically carrying her, Indy Hartwell turns to the camera, smiles, and gives the camera a thumbs up. Yeah. I fucking laughed so much at that. And then ultimately, Bronson Reed hits the tsunami on Austin Theory for the good guys to win. Indy looked great in this, but there are moments in this match where her wrestling is fucking not good. She took a DDT and she was nowhere. Like, she fucking landed on her knees.
Here's the thing with Indy Hartwell.
Yes.
Not everyone's meant to be fucking Sasha Banks. Some people are meant to be Miss Elizabeth or Stephanie McMahon. And I think that's Indy Hartwell. But here's the other thing. She has so much more charisma. Dude, the beginning of the year, she looked like every time she walked down in front of the camera, she looked like she was going to shit her pants.
Yes.
And now within, like, since February, she has so much more charisma than the other three members of the Way. It's fucking embarrassing. Especially the guy like Johnny Gargano, who was stealing the show for years, and now looks like a fucking idiot. But you know what? Sometimes you got to take the ball and run with it. That's what she's doing. I thought this match was really good. I like the fact they did have some intergender violence, but it was done logically. It wasn't done like, again, I feel like Vince Russo would have been like, and then Bronson Reed just punches Candice LeRae in the fucking face. And he just kicks her in the fucking twat. And that's it. And then he wins the match. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he just fucking, he just deck her. But like the intergender violence was good. It was really well done. And, Bronson Reed looked good, and yeah, I thought it was a good main event. It was a feel-good way to end WrestleMania week.
I kind of didn't like the feel-good ending. I kind of was waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, but know what? I think they kind of wanted to end everything. This is it. This was it for the whole week, and I think they wanted to end everything on an up note. So, like, if you watched everything, it ended like you're excited for the future. You know, where's Roderick Strong going? What's going to happen on SmackDown? What's going to happen with Indy Hartwell? What's going to happen with Shania Twain? What's her name, the Japanese woman?
Shania Twain, yeah.
What's going
to But you're not saying with the accent, but you're right.
you know, what's the future hold for Kushibushi? Yeah. Like, is Jordan Devlin going to be on NXT UK? A lot of things, you know, you ended it with a lot of questions, but then you end it with, like, a nice happy ending, and there's a cliffhanger with, you know, is Indy Hartwell going to suck Dexter Lumis's cock, you know? Who knows? Yeah.
No, this, I mean, trust me, guys. My complaint is a very small complaint.
Yeah, like, I think they were like, we have to. I think they couldn't end it again like they ended WrestleMania.
Yeah. Based on last week's both the NXT TakeOvers and this, so far in April, this is the show.
I think the best thing for probably also for AEW is for these two shows to be away from each other.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like AEW is kind of booking towards an imaginary war that nobody really gave a fuck about.
Yeah.
And it didn't really exist. I'll tell you why it didn't exist.
Because that was not a war.
There was never a war. No. It didn't matter who was winning the ratings. That, like, it didn't matter because, like, I would watch AEW first, then I would watch NXT, or I watch NXT first and I watch AEW. It didn't mean, like, you know why the Nitro and Raw was a war? Because most people, if you watch Raw, if you watch Nitro, you could not watch Raw. It was
There was no DVR.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Like, well, more people. So they know to these fucking ratings breakdown. Unless like Raw, unless like NXT or unless like AEW was getting like 5 million viewers and NXT had like 10,000 viewers, then that'd be like, oh, what the fuck is going on? That's a battle. You know, that's not a battle, but there's something's really wrong here with NXT. You know what I mean? But that never happened. It was always close. It was always like, it was just pathetic the way they would like, oh, the women didn't watch this segment. Who gives a fuck? They're all gonna, dude, you can watch it on YouTube. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It wasn't a war too because.
But Tony Khan acted like he was having a war. It was fucking stupid.
You know why? Because he's a mark. He's a fucking mark. And he, just like a mark, he goes, Meltzer, what am I doing wrong, Meltzer?
Yeah.
Lord and master of the internet, of wrestling community.
But the problem was, like, you know, like people, and I people online would hype up every week, like, oh, maybe this week NXT is going to do this to counter AEW. And I really do feel like NXT was just trying to have a show. They're just trying to build the Raquel Gonzalez's and the Rhea Ripley's into, you know, the people are going to main event WrestleMania. And instead, people want to be watching it for that. You're watching it to be like, well, you're not even trying to fight AEW. They should have fucking, you know, people like say, like, they should have like main roster people. Like people like trying to argue that Bayley should join NXT or something. Because it wasn't a war. They're just trying to build the fucking future on this show. And they're just having good matches.
Yeah. The first quarter of this year, I gave it to NXT UK, you know? NXT UK was the fucking show the first quarter, but if NXT keeps at this pace,
yeah,
it's gonna be a fucking great show, guys. I don't hate WWE. I fucking love NXT. I love NXT UK.
Just the main roster, which is like,
And you know what? SmackDown sometimes it's not the worst fucking show,
dude.
You know?
The funny thing is, Rhea Ripley even walked out different tonight on NXT. Like, it was like so night and day. You can see how much control they put over her on Raw last night.
Yeah.
And then here she could be herself, and she just like walked out looking like so natural. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, it's almost like
two different companies.
Yeah, it is. It's so weird. It's so fucking weird. Remember like what the fuck happened to Keith Lee, right?
I think he's injured.
Maybe, yeah.
But and like, you know what's so weird? Because they didn't want to do WCW, like in 2001, they didn't want to. But like, essentially, like NXT is almost WCW or ECW. Like, it's just such a different company, and they treat it. I feel like the main roster always treats it with disrespect. But it's like, you own this fucking company.
I know, that's the weirdest thing. It's like, no, we don't. We that gimmick you did over there, it ain't gonna fly up here. But it's yours. Like, it's your fucking gimmick, guys. Like, you own the fucking rights. You're technically making money on this.
Why don't they had Bailey. Like, Bailey was so, and don't get me wrong, I love Bailey's character now, but they had Bailey so hot in NXT, and they just fucking broke her down.
Dude,
you remember how they were burying her in 2017? Like, just burying her for months on end.
Uh-huh.
And then now they built her back up in Vince's image. But it's like, then why even put all this time and effort into her on NXT?
That's why I think Junior is stupid, because he appears to be such a control freak that it's like, it doesn't even matter if it's coming from my company. I'm the one who has to build this wrestler.
Yeah.
It has to be me. I don't care if it's making me money.
I can tell you Bronson Reed is never going to jump off the top rope in the main roster. So, like, to me, it's like, this is what I would say. If I'm sitting backstage at NXT, why are we even having this guy jump off the top rope? Because you know Vince is not going to let him do that. So, like, he's going to go to the main roster, and the fans are going to be like, oh, he's going to jump off the top rope, and he's never going to go near the top rope. He's going to wrestle, like fucking Big Show. You know?
No, I disagree. I think if Bronson Reed were to go to WWE, like the main roster, they're going to turn him into like an Otis-like joke.
Okay, like, yeah, but he's not going to do
like,
what he did
to me. They're like, I want you to shake your belly.
So that's why I'm saying, like, get him ready for that now rather than have him.
And meanwhile, Otis is like, I can do that. He goes, no. We want this guy
to rub his belly.
We want you to be a fucking bad guy. Yeah. No, I would love to do that. No, not you.
Yeah. So that's my whole thing. It's almost like these guys are having amazing matches, but I'm just like, but they're gonna have to change their whole style. Like, Matt Riddle's whole style is different now. They're gonna have to change their whole style to the main roster. So why are you even like letting them do all this? It's like, I don't know. I love it though. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, one of the best people. I feel like in WWE is like the people who don't fucking ever leave NXT.
Yeah.
They gotta be so happy. Well, like Ciampa must be fucking ecstatic. Just be like, I don't have to fucking go over there and just like.
Yeah, Ciampa. I hope Ciampa, but Gargano stayed too long. He's garbage now. So.
Yeah.
I think there's some people like you can't keep him there that long. They gotta go back and forth like Finn Balor. Like, you can't, because like I think Gargano's time to move was at least 2 years ago, and they missed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a weird, it's like a puzzle you can't solve, because if you go to the main roster, like you say, like some people need to go, there's like an 80% chance they're gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah, but then there's like some people that, you know, they do right by, like, I don't even know who at this point.
They have to break you down first. They'll always have to break you down.
Yeah, but like I'm trying to think of someone that they didn't break down.
Yeah, who didn't they break down? They're just like, yeah, well, you are perfect the way you are when we from NXT.
Samoa Joe, I feel like.
Yeah, Actually, yeah, you're right. They just got breaking down. He just went straight from being Samoa Joe to Samoa Joe. Like, yeah, straight.
They never made him look an idiot.
Corbin.
Baron Corbin constantly was an idiot, but they don't think he does.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin was already like, Baron Corbin in NXT was basically like, I'm a shitty Randy Orton style wrestler in NXT. That was his gimmick. So it was fine on the main roster because
yeah, that's what I'm saying. They didn't break him down. They just kind of were like, we're gonna
take Elias. Elias, they're breaking down now.
Yeah, they're breaking down now. They're breaking because Elias they gave down
him a huge. I mean, do you remember he beat Dean Ambrose like his second or third match?
I remember Elias was huge, dude.
Yeah, he was nothing. He was a joke in NXT, and they like loved him.
Yeah, I legit thought like this guy was like, oh my god, this is the next star. I legit thought this was the next big star.
I thought the way they were pushing him, man. John Cena was letting him do. John Cena always, whenever John Cena would come back, he would get let Elias beat him up, or do stuff.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. I have no idea what happened.
John Cena left. That's what happened.
I guess you're right.
All right. Well, that's it for WrestleMania week. We're done. We'll probably be back on Monday to cover Raw, but we're definitely not covering SmackDown, so good luck figuring out whether it's good or not.
It's probably gonna suck, guys.
Well, we'll see. And then, yeah, we're definitely not covering AEW or Impact this week. I'm done with those two companies. All right, we'll see you next week.